You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. College quarterbacks. All right, two interesting pieces of content today out on the college football world. One from Bill Conley of ESPN, in which he has ranked every Power 4 quarterback based on their 1 month of work. So this season only. Does anyone care to guess who the number one quarterback is according to Bill Conley right now?
In college in 1 month.
Correct.
I know my quarterback got to be top 3 to 5. I'm not sure if he's one.
He's one that I'm going to go to bat for. He's at 18.
18?
Correct.
18.
I'm through trying at that point. 18?
Correct.
Hold on, he only doing the Power 4 only?
P4 only. And he's at 18. So whatever, is that 64? I think it's 64.
I know people were high. I don't know if they high on him after the loss. A lot of people was high on Penn State quarterback early on.
Aller came in, I want to say, around like 15.
I'll take a kick at Dante Moore. He's been excellent.
I think Dante was 5.
Oregon.
Dante's 5.
Oregon, yeah.
He's been very, very good.
Keep in mind, level of competition doesn't matter. This is based on the performance thus far. Who has a reputation that, whether or not earned or not, would be like the quarterback whisperer?
I know he ain't got Manny on there.
I mean, he's ranked somewhere, but well down.
Okay, he's not top 5. Man, I know Texas A&M been pretty good. I don't know how great.
26 for Marcel.
Ole Miss? What is he?
3. Trinidad's at 3.
Okay, I knew I was getting close. What about?
They can't give it to Mateer.
I think he was 12.
Ohio State quarterback.
12, 11.
11 for Saiyan?
Saiyan's at 11, Mateer's at 12.
Saiyan's been good, too.
Yeah. Is it?
Are we just missing someone who's been really good?
Alabama,
I'm not. Ty's at 8. And Ty's played
a lot better recently.
Not only that, close to perfect football outside of the first half at, and I, again, my whole thing is they lost to Florida State. I never felt like it was Ty Simpson's fault. He was incredible on Saturday night. The reason why I'm asking this is not to embarrass anyone, because I was doing the same thing. Jaden Maiava, I should say, the USC quarterback.
Like,
They've been good.
He's been good. I'm not mad at that.
Here's what Bill writes. He was let down by his defense against Illinois on Saturday, but Maiava is comfortably number one in total QBR through September among QBR qualified quarterbacks. He is one of only two to rank in the top 20 in both completion percentage and yards per completion, so throwing it far and completing a lot of them. Illinois was comfortably his worst game of the year. He still threw for 364 yards with a total QBR of 85.5. Again, this is my whole deal. It's like, I'm fine with what Bill went with. If we put Maiava up on the draft, he's going what? Okay, because two is Diego Pavia, three Trinidad Chambliss, four's Fernando Mendoza, five was
Mendoza's been really good.
Dante Moore. This was one that surprised me because I do think this is the classic classic example of your first impression is oftentimes just what sticks with you. Brennan Soresby, the Cincinnati quarterback that remember threw the pick against Nebraska at the end when everyone was like, why is he throwing deep? They were in field goal range. He comes in at six.
Didn't he kind of turn it around? Like
Soresby's been very good.
Yeah, because I remember watching.
But he's also been very good because they've played a lot of teams that they can really just do the power run game on. And he's an awesome runner.
Yeah.
It's just Nebraska was a team that can make him throw. C.J. Carr at seven. Ty Simpson at eight. Damon Williams, the Washington quarterback at nine. Damon needs to get his offensive line back. Jalen Daniels at Kansas was 10. Sayan and Mateer were 11 and 12. Chandler Morris at 13. He's the UVA kid. Taylen Green at 14. Altmyer at 15. He's at Illinois. Castellanos, the Florida State quarterback, 16. Joey Aguilar at 17 at Tennessee. Beck at 18. Bo Prabula at Missouri, 19. Gunnar Stockton, 20. Sawyer Robertson checks in at 21. It's like, if he's 21.
Even that feels low. Like, Sawyer's been awesome.
So what hurts Sawyer is Bill really docks you for taking sacks.
And he does hold on to the ball.
But I would also
argue
he holds on to the ball because they have to score every possession.
That is also true.
Like, he can't be.
Even some of the other guys on there, like, Prabula's been really good, but that could also be level of competition. His slate has been pretty easy, but it's his first time starting, and he's been kind of lights out.
Garrett Nussmeier checking in at 37. Arch is at 41.
I shouldn't laugh, but like.
More on Arch in a minute.
Yeah, ain't nobody.
The one that I actually had the biggest. This is the eye test doesn't pass the numbers test. For anyone that has not gotten a look at Malik Washington, he's Maryland's true freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
He is the classic guy that eye test tells you that guy's good. But maybe the numbers don't add up. But it's like one of those ones where it's like, I don't really care. But then I also dug into numbers. You know why his numbers don't match up?
Because you're not playing with anyone.
Bingo.
Yeah.
There's no
highest,
one on that team.
Highest drop rate of like on target throws. It's like, guy's doing his job. He's making the throws. It's like, but he's throwing to me and George over there. Jaron Kive. Sangapalatelli is at 49. That's another one I test.
That feels a little low because he's been good.
I will say the San Diego State game was really bad. But, like, he should not be in the same ranks as Eli Holstein, who, like, leads the country in just horrific throws. Cade Klubnik is at 54. Aller comes in at 55. I don't know why I thought I read his name earlier. Kyron Drones at 56. Gronowski for Iowa is at 57. Nico comes in at 58. Any list that has Ben Gilbranson, the Stanford quarterback, not at 64th is wrong. So I just want to throw that out there. DJ Lagway at 61. The three-headed monster of whatever West Virginia trots out is at 64.
Wasn't there a report like an hour ago that one of them is going to transfer?
Sure. I did see, but like it.
Does it matter?
It does not matter there.
Which one is it? Let me look.
Yeah, I think someone requested, but like, I think
Nico Marchiol.
He had a possession in the Pitt game where he played all three, and not as like a gimmick. Not like, oh, I'm putting all three on the field to like
for like trick plays, you like put it on film, like have everybody guess. No, he was rotating through. Like it was the gold standard used to always be for me when Spurrier, back in the day and age when you would run in the play from the sideline, when Spurrier was running in the play with his quarterback and he had quarterbacks alternating, he had a first down, second down. That was always the gold standard. Rich Rod had one possession where he played all three. It was something to behold. Okay, the reason why I bring that up was also The Athletic. We had Bruce Feldman had a piece of what NFL scouts, college football coaches say has gone wrong and right with the, quote, special quarterback class. So, of course, the top of the list entering the season was Arch. He was number one in Dane Brugler's summer positional rankings and number one overall in Dane Brugler's original 2026 mock draft. Here is what Bruce wrote. The skepticism started in week one when the next Manning struggled, expectedly so. I would also argue, I don't know if it was expectedly so. Maybe in hindsight it should have been expected, but it's like coming into that game, most everybody thought, hey, this is two young quarterbacks. I trust the one that can run a little bit more. Struggled expectedly so at Ohio State behind a rebuilt offensive line. A few weeks later, against a much weaker opponent and while playing on friendly turf in Austin, Manning was booed by fans after going 11 of 25 for 114 yards against UTEP. Manning did look better the following week against Sam Houston State, and within the program, there still seems to be a lot of optimism about Archie's grandson than outside it. Quote, he's a terrific athlete. He throws the deep ball as well, as good as anybody I've ever been around, one Texas source told me, who added that he expects Manning will bounce back this season as he settles in. Another quote, he was gripping the ball a little tightly, added a second Texas program source. Settling Manning down, as well as a host of inexperienced starters on the offense that includes breaking in four new guys on the O-line, would go a long way towards Texas looking like the team that came into the SEC or came into the season with such lofty expectations. On the other side, one NFL scouting director told The Athletic that Manning's film from the Ohio State game was, quote, ugly, adding that he doesn't know if the former five-star recruit has the, quote, yips, something we've talked about, but that there is real concern about him within the scouting world. Quote, he's talented, but he needs to get rid of whatever's going on with him. I don't know if it's all mental, but I do know he's dealing with a level of pressure that nobody else we're talking about is dealing with. We just need to see a lot more of him before anybody can make a determination about him. He really just hasn't played that well. He really just hasn't played a lot. It's okay to be a little bit of a development project and still have a high upside. You've just got to let him develop. All right, here's the question that I have. Is he the most disappointing player this season?
I would say Manning, right?
Yep.
I would say, just if you had to not think and just off the wall, yes. And I don't never like to, although I'm in media now, just outlier a college kid or whatever, but it's like, dude, before the season started, people was talking like he could potentially be the number one pick. Did you see something?
With his hometown team, because he's from New Orleans.
Yeah.
The Saints are almost assuredly going to pick number one.
The Saints probably should have gave Shador a shot, but that's another conversation or whatever.
I think they wanted to lose.
Oh, to get him.
Correct. Or just to – I don't think there was a real love of last year's quarterback draft.
I can see that.
I still have Cam stock, and, like, I'm not blaming Cam for the Titans sucking.
No, but was it you or somebody that thought they would be a lot better?
I thought they could be frisky. I didn't think they would be good, but I thought they could be – I thought their defense was good enough to keep them – I thought they were basically going to be like the Browns, but in the AFC South. And I thought Cam, if they could bring him along slowly, but then now you're in the problem where Callahan, their coach, is, I think, low-key could be the first guy fired. Like, I think he could get fired before McDaniel. Because that team's definitely on quit watch, by the way. But, yeah, no, I thought their defense would be better than this. And at times their defense looked okay. Then they guys got hurt, and then they started doing the fire sale thing.
Yeah. Well, I would say, yeah, Manny gotta be, if I'm just thinking off the top of my head, one of the most disappointing guys.
So, I think the other options, and to at least give you the multiple choice and see if you want to go with it, because I have no problem with that being the answer. Klubnik at Clemson, Nussmeier at LSU, Aller at Penn State. I don't think, while I don't have the Lenoris gene like other people, Lenoris is not the biggest disappointment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's...
No, he's still playing relatively well.
Correct. And on top of that, Lenoris has less weapons than any of these other guys that we just mentioned.
100%. Could we put Lagway in that list?
I think Lagway could be on that list.
Or would that be the entire Florida everything?
Yeah, I would still argue DJ's not played well.
He has not played well.
Now, the question I think that everyone has with DJ is, everyone seems to, Florida will not go on the record about DJ's health. Texas is straight up denying that there's any health issue with Arch. So I do think some people are open to the idea. A lot of DJ's struggles are the shoulder and missing
and the
all
foot.
Correct.
And, you know, everything involved.
Everything. Whereas Texas is saying, no, he's fine.
I would almost put Nussmeier in that similar injury boat because we're getting conflicting reports from LSU that he's hurt versus not hurt. But then when you watch him play, you're like, this is not the same quarterback that we've seen before. He doesn't have the same velocity on the ball. He can't fit it into the windows he used to. It doesn't look right.
It don't. Unfortunately, when you carry the Manny name, just the pro and con to come with it, right? Because, like,
you get the Warby Parker, the Viore, the Gatorade. You get all the ads.
Yeah.
But you also get this.
Because I'm going to be real. Let's say they all threw right now. All of them had through for 2,000 yards. Like, something crazy, right? They broke a record in the first. And we came on this show, on most shows, to say, at all five of these quarterbacks, everybody would say Eli was the best looking 2,000. Everybody would say,
Arch, yeah.
Arch, my man. Arch was the man.
He has an ad. Y'all got to listen. He has an ad now that he does a voiceover, and it takes me like 10 seconds to figure out whether or not it's Arch or Eli. They talk the exact same. He does, because Eli has that kind of like, you could tell might have been a speech impediment at some point, like in there, like, just going out there trying to play good football. Like, Arch, like, does it a little bit more slowly, and like, I was like, wait a minute. Nope, that's Arch. Like, then they showed him talking. It's like, okay, that's Arch. But I've had that moment of like, wait, who's talking there?
I feel like just because of the hype, I feel like all them other guys got, because Penn State quarterback was really hyped, LSU, but the Manny stuff, like I said, people were saying it was a lock a month ago on the number one NFL draft pick. I don't think any of these other guys, we thought they would have a chance of making a deep run in the playoffs, but nobody was getting that type of love.
I think it has to be Arch. The only thing I was, because like, so for instance, let's take Nussmeier for example. Nussmeier, the coaches are at least acknowledging he has an ab strain. And that one, it's like, okay, I can see that. Because to George's point, we've seen him make some of these throws. He's not making them. And the ball looks like it's just fluttering. So at least I'm willing to sit there and go, that is injury. I'm going to have to take the coach's words for it. Because to me, Arch has either been hurt or he's got the yips. And so I'm going to take their word
and say he's not hurt.
Correct. As I'm making this evaluation, like, I'm having to play it fair for everybody. The ones that I would listen to an argument for are Klubnik and Aller, in addition to Arch, simply because they've played more football. And like, Nussmeier does at least have, and again, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, who knows how well it holds up, but he at least does have the game where I go, he won the Clemson game.
Yes.
There's nothing we 100% can point to for the other guys. Like, the best that we can say about Aller is that Aller had a fourth quarter that sent the game to overtime, and then he threw a game-ending pick. Yeah. And then with Klubnik, the best we can say is he had a decent second half against Troy, brought him back, beat the Trojans.
I was about to say.
That's their win.
The wrong Trojan, though.
Correct.
If that's the like baseline, if that's the good,
right,
I am putting that way, way, way down, right, from Aller playing, for what it's worth, the entire first three quarters of the Oregon-Penn State game was terrible by both teams.
Mm-hmm.
That game was a snooze for three quarters.
How much of that game did everybody get to watch? This is not a test.
Pretty much all of it.
I probably watched about 2.5, 3 quarters going back and forth.
Would that game have been fun if they would have officiated the whole game like they officiated the fourth quarter? Because I think what happened is, and you can't convince me this didn't happen in Oxford, some message got sent to the officials.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, boys.
You got to let them play.
There better be blood. But there were 17 penalties accepted in the first half of the Ole Miss game. I believe there were 21 flags thrown.
Oh, yeah. There were a bunch that were declined.
It was basically every third play. And that includes special teams plays. Like, every third play had a flag. I do think a lot of the Penn State-Oregon game was greatly dictated in the first half by neither offensive line could block the defensive line, so they just kept throwing holding calls. And so every quarterback was in first and 20, second and 20. And so because of that, neither guy really looked all that good. I did think Dante looked better, but then late in the second half, they stopped calling all the holding calls. And I don't really feel like it was, oh, all of a sudden the offensive linemen were moving their feet better.
Or stop holding.
Correct. Yeah. I don't think that happened from what I could see. But what I think allowed it was, okay, because guys were allowed to hold, there was some time to throw, and both quarterbacks looked significantly better.
Both much better.
Dante started at a higher point, but
that touchdown pass from Aller, though.
Well, I was also...
Over the top was phenomenal.
This is the whole... I understand we could do this with a lot of teams. And oftentimes, the difference between good teams and... Or difference between great teams, good teams, average teams, bad teams is break doesn't go your way. How do you respond? If Dante Moore on that second down, I believe it was the first overtime, they were trying to run zone read. Mm-hmm. And Dante, I think, was trying to pull it. And when he tried to pull it back to himself, he kind of flipped the football and it slipped out of his hand. If that thing doesn't bounce right back to him, but bounces to a Penn State defensive lineman, game's over. They lose. Are we talking about Aller differently? Because at that point, he's thrown the touchdown. Basically the last thing we would have seen was the touchdown pass to get them into overtime. And he led an overtime drive like that to score. And lo and behold, he gave his defense a chance. They make a play. Well, that's not how the sport works. Ball didn't bounce their way. I would also argue there weren't a lot of Penn State guys around the ball.
No, there was not a lot of
push. The Oregon offensive line might have been pushing them back. There weren't a lot of guys around the ball. So Dante is able to fall back on it. They get third down close. They get the fourth down. They score. In the second overtime, they go right down the field and score. And then Aller throws the pick. And all of a sudden, we're right back to where we were, which is, I don't know how we feel about Aller. But that is kind of the flip side of it all. It's how much differently are we talking about it if that play flips?
I mean, that's sports, which you just named. It's a very thin line. I tell people, winning and losing, sometimes your legacy is kind of like love and hate. It's a thin line at times. Because like you say, I think sometimes we don't even look at stats. We over-love and over-credit a guy by a win. Penn State was so big because of their record with James Franklin. If they would have won that game, I feel like people would have almost halfway had him back in the Heisman. Although his stats went great.
No. I'm dead serious. I think that's the conversation. I think if Dante – I want to be very clear. This is not me taking away a win from Oregon. I'm trying to point out how ridiculous we are with narrative. If that ball bounces away from him, let's say it bounces to the defensive line, defensive linemen are looking in the backfield. The offensive linemen are trying to push him the other way. Let's say no offensive lineman recognizes the ball's on the ground. It ends up in a Penn State guy's hand. The last thing we saw is three straight touchdown drives from Drew Aller, and we're talking about a two-touchdown comeback against one of the best teams in the country, and Franklin, all of a sudden, this is the one that gets him over the top. It's a bounce.
It would have been that. I'm going to be real. And people are waiting for that story because people like Franklin, they're starting to really turn on him against any. Because look how quick Alabama coach back loved.
But I think we also acknowledge Alabama's always going to be insane in both directions.
For sure.
They're going to overreact to a loss in the sense of, we'll get the video of the woman walking out of the convenience store saying, what would you do with your lottery winnings? And she said she'd pay off the buyout of Kalen DeBoer with her that was back when it was like $1 billion. But now it's take a look at what he's done in these big games when he was at Washington.
Yes.
Against and then now it's even flipped to this. I loved this one. Dan Lanning, Sarkisian, Kirby, all Saban disciples. DeBoer beats them all on the field. And do you see like how insane? Like no, that's like this is it.
But guess what? Was a lot of comments when I read some about his record versus AP. I think it was either top 10 or top 5 teams. He's some like 7-1. Most of the comments said, "Also, oh, he's a reverse opposite of James Franklin." Like this was the comment.
100%.
Like so. That shows you how quick the narrative goes.
And to me, it's also like, it kind of, this has always been my big deal the last couple of years with the SEC. I do acknowledge it's true, the league top to bottom is the best.
Been like that forever.
The problem that I have is, I don't know if the top of the league is the best. I think the gap between Ohio State, there's not a single SEC team that I would favor over Ohio State if they played tomorrow. Doesn't mean, again, to be clear, that does not mean that Ohio State would win. Mm-hmm. That's why we play games. But I think the same is true for Oregon. I think that's the problem that the SEC faces in this world where it's when it truly becomes, okay, there's a difference between being, Let's use it in our fair city. There's such thing as Memphis rich.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you go out to L.A. or you go out to San Francisco or you go to New York City, hell, you go to Chicago, Dallas, like, and you play I'll flip you for your net worth, there's people that will flip a coin and not blink an eye if they lose and you win.
For sure.
Like, there's just a different, and I think the same problem is holding true in the SEC. It's like, okay, when it's the under-the-table era, just means more. We'll make sure we get it done, but now that it's gone to open market and all of a sudden you're having to bid against all the real big money people, well, now it's an entirely different game.
A lot of the under-the-table, not saying I know who they are, people are actually not as strong no more since this
100%.
Since this especially on the basketball side, some of the ones that it's not the same. And like you say, just to touch up on different points, Jeffrey, like narratives are so crazy because I still think Chris can get fired if he had 2 bad losses this year. I think James Franklin's job is secured. Maybe I can be a little wrong on that.
The problem that Penn State has, we've seen this in a couple of other examples where neither side is in love, but neither side can do anything about it. Because if you're Penn State, and yeah, because this is also, like to me, like this is the other hilarious aspect of it. In the fourth quarter, the Fire Franklin chants start breaking out. If that ball bounces the other way, what are they doing? Like, extend him? Is that the chant? Like, but they're in this spot where Franklin can't realistically, I don't know how many actual better jobs there are out there. I think I would say off the top of my head, for sure, no doubt, better job is Ohio State. I think maxed out Michigan is a better job.
I would say Georgia and Alabama, right?
I don't know.
Notre Dame?
Notre Dame, I would.
Are we putting Oregon there?
Oregon, I am. But Oregon, no.
Oregon as long as
Oregon,
Phil.
I have my Oregon asterisk.
We have our Phil
as long
clause.
As Uncle Phil's alive. Because Uncle Phil is doing everything he can to make sure before he takes his last breath, he sees the Ducks win a national title.
So this must be out the NIL because Oregon wasn't considered. That's why coaches kept leaving a top 10-20 job. Even Winfield was doing everything like left there to go to Florida State. People left there to go to
let's take a look at Willie. So Willie's problem was Willie's entire career, Taggart, for those who don't know, Willie's entire career was in the state of Florida or taking jobs where he recruited Florida. And I do think Willie got out to Eugene, Oregon, and was like, man, you people are weird. And I think he was like, I think this is also something you have to remember. In the under the table era, I think there was this idea that these jobs were a lot closer. And I don't, this is where I give Lanning credit. Lanning hasn't been super itchy to leave. And it seems like the last two, and then you have to also remember with Cristobal. Cristobal runs into the situation in Oregon where, A, I think he also went out there, and I think my Cuban brother from Miami got to Eugene, Oregon and said, man, you people are weird. He also has this something that doesn't ever happen where your best friend from middle school winds up as a billionaire with techno or with crypto money, and all of a sudden he goes, I want to bring the U back. And then all of a sudden, Miami sounds a lot better. But I think if you look at with Lanning, I don't know how much to believe of could have had Alabama, took his name out or whatnot. Like, there's a lot of tell your story on that. But basically, almost every other job that has come open in the last couple of years would have hired Lanning in a second, and he has not been itching to get out. So I do think that that's starting to change, but we've talked about it. That only exists for me as long as Uncle Phil's alive. Because they also have the weird reality of they don't get the full Big Ten check, but I also think that applies more to the other sports.
Yeah. But I think that we got to be careful here, too, not giving more SEC teams credit. I think we're looking at post-NIL because we say Notre Dame, yes, but Coach left Notre Dame to go to LSU. So we got to say LSU,
but
Georgia,
I would not,
and
this
Alabama.
Is what I would like to know. Brian Kelly did that in 2021. And remember, when NIL first started, Kelly was in that group of coaches that was like, I'm going to pay everyone on my roster the same. And anyone else that like wanted to win was like, that's so stupid. And now he has acknowledged that was stupid. If Brian Kelly would have played the game out more, would he have still left? Because I think today what is obvious to me is Notre Dame was not comfortable, whether it was a moral issue, whether or not it was a university mandate, and they were willing to turn their own people in. Now that they've gotten into this world where it's all legal, they are cool playing the game. And they got way more money than everyone. It's why I still think Freeman is, unless he just has a desire to be an NFL coach, I think he's an idiot if he leaves.
I like Freeman a lot, too.
I was about to say that, and that's my big thing with that situation with Freeman. I think he'd be successful at the next level. I think he's a darn good coach.
I think he'd be successful at the next level if he had a quarterback.
Well,
how many open jobs? There's a reason why Harbaugh couldn't wait to get to the Chargers. And I don't even think the guy's that good, but that also goes to show he knew, I'm not getting fired.
True.
But, I mean, think about this. The greatest coach that college football's ever seen essentially got fired from the NFL. Made the wrong quarterback decision, but also, let's not relitigate that. He went to a doctor, and the doctor said, Dante Culpepper has a knee. Drew Brees has a shoulder. I would always bet on the knee with a quarterback over a shoulder. Nothing that he did was irrational.
Now, no.
Turns out it was wrong, but he played the odds. I mean, it's no different when you're playing blackjack. They're showing, the house is showing four. You're going to stay. They might flip it out and it's 21. Like, that doesn't mean that you made the wrong call. Like, it's where the real question, though, is how wide is the gap between, because here's the other thing I would say about Georgia, because you brought them up. The first thing that stands out now when you watch Georgia play, they're still really good, but watch up front. And I'm not trying to take away anything from Alabama's offensive line on Saturday, But even really good offensive lines give up sacks to really good defensive lines. Ty Simpson got to name his number on Saturday. And that's, to me, like, that's the key difference. What is in heavy demand in college football? The big uglies up front on defense that you can't block. And so that's where this whole thing comes into, what are the quote-unquote best jobs? So with Franklin, it's like, in my mind, there's probably three that I would for sure say are better jobs. He's not getting any of them. And then it becomes a question of, well, do you maybe go and take, like, for instance, let's say Florida, if Florida really is hell-bent on Kiffin, let's say Kiffin makes the decision, he's staying at Ole Miss. If you're Franklin, do you sit there and go, let's reset the clock at Florida? And if you're Florida, does that excite everyone?
I mean, I think he's a pretty good coach, though.
I think it's shown his floor is extremely high. The question, though, is, like,
where's the ceiling?
Right.
I mean, they're finishing like top five every year.
The problem is, like, to your point about the whole versus the top 10.
Yeah, if you take
that's all. He loses to Michigan and Ohio State. They're better jobs. They're better pro. Like, that's who they lose to. When he plays everyone else, like, they lost to Oregon. I think Oregon right now is one of the best jobs in the country. And they got beaten in double overtime. But if you're Florida, is there still, like, in the back of your mind, like, we're hiring a flame-out Penn State coach? Because that's how stupid everyone is. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the way we'll do is, like, well, he's, you know, really is the Vandy coach. It's like, well, he did win 9 games there.
Yeah, he was.
He won 9 games there twice.
Incredible. Legendary.
Now, Vandy also played the game with him. It's the first time, I swear, that the SC offices were called for Vandy turned in for cheating. And I'd like to think at the time Slive just hung up the phone and laughed. All right, we got to take a break. We come back. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening else in the world of sports. We'll do that next. Right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Boys, let's call this our Bay Area Minute. All right, Coach. Your beloved Niners are taking on the Rams tomorrow night. I'm not sure this is going to be one of Al's favorite games of the year. Adam Schefter, 39 minutes ago. Brock Purdy, toe. Although I think it's turf toe, right? Is it? I think that was what they were saying. Brock Purdy, toe. Ricky Pearsall, knee. Juwan Jennings, ankle and ribs. So he's got a twofer. Are all out Thursday night versus the Rams. Schefter then quote tweets and says, 49ers quarterback Mac Jones now expected to make his third start of the season. He is 2-0, by the way. Brock, 1-1, right? Yeah. Brock beat the Seahawks, lost last week. And then Mac beat the Cardinals and the Saints. I think that's right. Mac Jones will make his third start of the season. His top targets will include Kendrick Bourne, DeMarcus Robinson, could also be flagged for a revenge game, did play for the Rams, and tight end Jake Tonjes. So this used to be one of my favorite games to bet no matter what, because I called it Big Bro, Little Bro night fraternity-wise, because everyone always somehow makes McVay the head of the fraternity when really Kyle's the big bro. And literally, you would just watch McVay go nuts trying to beat Kyle every time, like running a bunch of like trick plays, nothing that would ever work, and Kyle would just beat him like 9 times out of 10. But it has flipped the last couple of years. Not sure feel great about the Niners tomorrow night.
Yeah, I guess from a betting standpoint,
I'm not even talking about from betting. I'm just saying also, like, yeah, those are not the names you want to read.
No, because I thought that tomorrow, I was hopeful. I had been hearing that Brock was coming back and he was looking good. So, yeah, out of all those misses, I'm sure the Rams do have the upper hand right now.
This is also a little bit of breaking news. This from Pete Thamel and Den Wetzel. The Big Ten is in discussions about a private capital deal that would infuse at least $2 billion to the league and its schools, sources told ESPN on Wednesday. Number one, whenever I read the private capital deal and it's getting vague, I'm like, oh, so they're just taking private equity money, but the Big Ten didn't want that to be in the headline. The discussions include a 10-year extension of the league's grant of rights until 2046, sources told ESPN, which would ensure long-term stability in the Big Ten. According to sources, the private capital deal and grant of rights extensions have been discussed for months and presented in multiple forms. A deal and the grant of rights extension would also be a distinct blow to the outside entities attempting to form the super leagues around college sports. While there is support from nearly the entire league, according to sources, a few of the league's biggest brands, including Ohio State and Michigan, are still in discussions with the league. The aim is to have unanimous support before a vote, sources told ESPN. Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, the first question you always have to ask, no offense to all reporters, which side's the news coming from? It seems to me like the news would be coming from all of the other schools that are not Ohio State and Michigan because they want to get the deal done. Does anyone disagree with that assessment? The interesting aspect of that, though, is how close. So Ohio State's, I believe it was their president, was interviewed a few weeks ago, and he brought up the idea of unequal revenue sharing in the Big Ten. And while the Big Ten has some newer members that are not getting full shares, the existing members all get the same share.
would this be something that would actually, because like I think in the end, like it's all just going to depend on if Ohio State and Michigan call Alabama up and say you want to start your own league, well then I think it's all bets are off. I would be curious to know, though, if this would push them. So you could also make the argument this is also a negotiation, though, from Ohio State and Michigan saying we're holding out, because I guarantee you that $2 billion investment without them is a lot less. And so what they could just be doing is forming their position saying, okay, we're getting more of that $2 billion, but y'all can get some of it.
No, that makes sense. Like you just said, no disrespect to the rest of them, and this might be wrong what I'm saying, but I think those two together has more power than most all the other ones together.
Well, I mean, the thing is that league also operates that way. Oftentimes, like, say what you want about the SEC, like, Alabama doesn't always get its way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but that league is what's best for Ohio State and what's best for Michigan's what's best for all of us. We're going along with it. So that's kind of what I've always thought is interesting. Okay, so super fun news about private equity entering college sports. Can't wait. Not one of the smaller brands. Could be perhaps entering the Big Ten. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next. Right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Zach Taylor today in his media availability was asked about Jake Browning's performance. I've got a ton of confidence in Jake. I'm unwavering in that. I've seen the best of Jake. I know that we can do a great job supporting him to where we can go win, to where he can go win games for us. How bad must Mike White, who else did they bring in? It was like Rippon, right? I think they brought in Brett Rippon and then
Sean Clifford.
I mean, in fairness to Browning, like if you go and you watch the O-line tape, that's not great either, but like, how far are we from Jamar just like pulling an air quotes hammy? That feels like that's on the horizon. Jamar's about to get him an 8-game hammy. Although, I'm sure he has numbers tied to it, but he's probably looking at it and is like, well, I'm not getting those numbers with Browning anyway. All right, Coach. I know you're going to Vegas. Enjoy it, man. Safe travels.
Thanks.
Be good.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Coach Hurd. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Coach, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show, coming up next.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.